So the time now is devoted to the sermon, but really, I suspect you will agree with me that the less said, the better, because much has already been said more beautifully, more powerfully than any words of mine. This great sacred drama that we refer to as the biblical narrative is spoken powerfully to us today. I'd like to give you two thoughts, kind of connect them, some portraits of our need and some understanding of the power that is in the blood. First of all, some portraits of our need. Do you know how hard you are to love? I have often meditated. You know, we live in a self-esteem kind of culture. A lot of calls for self-affirming that is constantly given to us. But I wonder if we ever realize how hard it is for God to love us. I don't mean from his capacity, but how sometimes unlovable we can be. Did you notice today that we started this liturgy by saying Hosanna? We sang praises to the Son of David. We waved our palms and we praised him. Within minutes, we were shouting, "Crucify him! We want Barabbas! Crucify this one." The book of James says that from the same mouth come forth praises to God. And then with the same mouth, we curse people who are made in the image of God. How difficult we must be for God. I sometimes think we must give him a migraine headache. He gives and gives, and it's so easy for us to just complain and complain. And so it is, this portrait that we began with just in the liturgy is, we shouted Hosanna, but within minutes we shouted Crucify. And isn't that the way we can be? Holy one moment, horrible the next. And yet the Lord loves you and me anyway. I'm mindful of another really low moment in the gospel today. One of the lowest moments, really. It must have, I think maybe Jesus must have wanted to throw in the towel at this moment. But luckily the Lord brought us all the way. But there was a moment when he announced that one of them would betray him. And they all rose to the Lord's defense as if to say, we've got to get to the bottom of this. We've got to protect the Lord. We've got to see that justice is done. But within moments, the debate broke down. The inquiry broke down into a debate among them about which one of them was the greatest. Lord, we're going to rescue you as soon as we solve this question about who's really in charge around here and who's the greatest. Church, we do this all the time. I don't know about you, but I think that's got to be the low moment. The Lord, his life is being threatened, and they're arguing about who's the greatest. What is really important to you in your life? Is it really the Lord and that his gospel, that his truth, that the poor be served? What is most important? Or is it my ego and what people think of me? And whether I need to lose weight or gain weight or change my hair color or have people think I'm just great? I've got to build up my muscles and get six-pack abs and everyone will be impressed. Is that really what's important to us? I'm afraid too often, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what's most important to us. What about me? And what do people think of me? And how great am I? And meanwhile, the Lord is being killed. There is injustice, there is hatred, there is immorality that is destroying souls, and we just go on and on worrying about cosmetics and bodybuilding, or whatever the equivalent is in our lives, career development. But the Lord loves us anyhow. Another moment. Peter is going to come to the Lord's defense. And as a swordsman, Peter shows himself to be an excellent fisherman. All he got was this servant of the high priest ear. That's about all he got. And within moments, he would be denying that the Lord, that he even knew the Lord. But the Lord loved Peter anyway. Did you see also the cycle of fear in this gospel? The high priest and the temple leaders are afraid of Pilate. If this Jesus starts to bring social unrest, they're going to send the army and really stomp on, put us under their boot. They're afraid of Pilate. You know who Pilate's afraid of? He's afraid of them. Don't you see how fear brings us to so much sin? We don't do what's right because we're afraid. Pilate knew he was innocent. He had committed no crime that deserved any capital punishment. But he was afraid. And because of his fear, he sinned grievously. And the high priest and the temple leadership, they were afraid too. They were afraid for their power. They were afraid also for the Romans, maybe, because, you know, these Messiah types would often raise up crowds, and the Romans would ruthlessly suppress these things. So they were afraid. How many sins do you and I commit out of fear? Afraid of what people will think. What will happen if I do this? What will happen if I stand up for what's right? What will happen if I don't do something immoral and don't get the reward? I might not have enough money for my bills. Fear and fear and fear and fear. So many of our sins are rooted in fear. I got to join the gang because I'm afraid I won't be liked. Got to give myself away to the boyfriend or the girlfriend because I'm afraid they might not love me if I don't sleep with them before marriage. Fear, fear. We come to a group and they're gossiping mercilessly about somebody. And what do? We're afraid. We want to fit in and be liked by them. So we join right in. Fear. But the Lord loves us anyway. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to keep this short, so I'm just going to go to the second point now. You see, we've got these things that are going on in us that draw us to sin. We've got our priorities are wrong. We're all focused on the wrong things. We're fearful. We're anxious about so many things. But church, I want you to know something. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't just come to say, I love you. He came to change us and to save us. And church, I want you to know, if you're afraid, there's power in the blood. If you're struggling with any sin, if you're struggling with any sorrow, if there's anything that's drawing you to sin, if your priorities are wrong and you don't even know how to get them right, there's power in the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It will never lose its power. I want to just testify, if I can, for a moment. Some years ago, I had a terrible demon of anxiety. And anxiety plagued me many sleepless nights. Anxious about God knows what. I could get anxious about anything. I could get anxious about when will I get time to go buy a Christmas tree? How will I ever get it decorated on time? I could get anxious about anything. And some of you remember, I was here at the time. In my 35th year, I had a nervous breakdown. A week in the hospital and a month to recuperate. Years of therapy to follow. But I want you to know something. There's power in the blood. That's right. And because of my anxiety, I often lashed out in anger. I struggle with my anger at the same time. But there's power in the blood. I want to say this to you. I don't get anxious that much anymore. And it wasn't Charles Pope. I can only credit the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus. Some people say I should get more anxious about things than I do. Why aren't you worried about this, Father? And because of my anxiety beginning to abate, I don't get nearly as angry as I used to. I won't tell you I never get angry. We all struggle with it. There's some things you ought to get angry about. But church, I can't remember the last time I had a temper tantrum. Now, you might remember it. But I don't. But I want you to know that two of the biggest struggles of my earlier years are largely behind me now. And it isn't Charles Pope that's boasting. I'm telling you what Jesus did. Because, church, there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What Jesus did today for us is not just some interesting historical event and a portrait of love. It is that. It is both those things. But it is more. It is medicine. It is power. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. I said wonder-working power. And I am a witness that the blood of Jesus Christ is changing me. There are sins I used to commit that I do not commit anymore. There are sinful attitudes I used to have that I do not have anymore. There are things in my life that used to plague me like demons, and they're gone, church. I said they're gone. Oh, the blood of Jesus. What he did for you and me today, he saw what a mess we were. But he loved us anyhow. We saw some portraits of what a mess we are. And then Jesus loved us anyway. But not to leave us in the same sorry state we've been in. Church, I hope you know that the normal Christian life is to live a victorious life because there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is wonder-working power in the precious blood of Jesus. And whatever you've got, whatever you brought into this church, it may not happen instantly, but I promise you, if you are faithful to prayer, to scripture, to the sacraments, I promise you, the Lord will deliver you. The Lord will rescue you. The Lord will change you. He will take away what afflicts you. He will give you joy. He will give you serenity. He will give you peace. Church, I'm not saying this on any authority other than this, that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Wonder-working power. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I said, church, it will never lose its power. Amen.